I was taking a road trip in my Mustang from Texas to Arizona to visit my brothers. I usually keep emergency supplies in the trunk, such as water and tools. I was taking, I guess, what you would call a scenic back route, because I liked flying at high speeds with the top down without worry of other cars or police. This was one of those completely deserted seeming roads with one lane on either side and nothing but desert sand, cacti, and shrubs as far as the eye can see. I was flying down this road when the car started to emit these concerning popping noises from under the hood, and the car started to jolt or jump slightly. I put a heavy foot on the brakes to bring the car from a speeding 90 miles per hour to a less than gradual halt. I got out from the car popping the hood, pretending as if I'd even know what to expect or how I'd go about fixing it. There was no smoke, nothing like that, but I didn't have a clue what could be the problem. I got back in my car to try and start it, and as I feared, the damn thing wouldn't even start back up now. The car was an 01 Ford Mustang, so yeah, it was an old car with its share of problems. Naturally, I tried to call my roadside service company, but bad became worse, realizing I didn't have any service this far out in the desert. I was more or less stranded. I hadn't seen a single other car pass me that whole hour I was driving on that road, and I was scared to think how long it would take for someone to pass. I waited on the side of the road, sitting on my car's trunk for literally hours, sweating my ass off. My spirits rose when I saw the shine of a car reflecting the sunlight speeding down the road in the horizon. I hopped off my trunk and started walking and waving my arms out for help. But the car didn't stop. It zoomed past me. Pure evil. I didn't know how somebody could leave another human being stranded like that. Nightfall came and the hunger was setting in. No cars had passed since the first, and I was trying to fill my stomach with the water bottles I had in my trunk. Eventually, I saw headlights approaching. I had my car's hazards on, but I also waved my arms once more. The truck pulled to the side, and a fairly large man stepped out. I told him my car broke down and asked if he knew anything about cars. But he didn't immediately seem interested in my car. He more so seemed interested in asking me if I was alone, where I was going, and why I didn't just call for help. Then he asked me if anyone knew I was here. These questions were certainly making me uncomfortable. He finally offered me a ride. Though if he was trying to make a point of making me uncomfortable, he accomplished that. I stepped up into his pickup truck, and off we started driving. He said it would be a long while before either of us would have phone service. He started asking me more questions, like why I would decide to take a back route like this. Minutes in, the truck started to slow down, and I heard him mutter, "Ah, shit." He pulled onto the sand on the side of the road, looked at me, and said the piece of crap broke down. This couldn't be happening. I looked back at the man and realized he was still looking at me. Like 5 seconds went by and he was just still staring at me. He finally asked me to go lift up the hood once he would crank the latch. I can only describe this whole situation so well, but through everything up until this point, I was insanely suspicious. I went in front of his truck with a bit of distance between the front and I, and waited to hear a click, meaning the truck's hood was unlatched. In my head, I was picturing him trying to run me over, and that's exactly what happened. As I took one step towards the truck to try and open the hood, I heard the roar of the engine as the man was on the gas. I dove for my life. If I reacted half a second later, I'd have lost my legs or instantly been killed. I took off running into the pitch black night, looking back to see the taillights still there. And then this. Gunshots. Surely gunshots aimed at me. That man was trying to kill me. It was too dark out there for him to possibly shoot me dead without some kind of luck. But I thought I was going to die at any moment. I ran as far as I could, then dove and made myself as low to the ground as possible. I heard a truck speeding off in the distance, so I turned and saw the taillights of the truck slowly disappearing down the empty road. I eventually fell asleep on the side of the road, and the nightmare didn't end until early morning, when I woke up to another pickup truck passing by. I waved them down, covered in dirt and sand, and thank God this man was actually normal, he and his wife. They gave me water and drove me to the nearest town where I was able to call the towing company. It was a 45-minute drive back to my car on that goddamned road, then that same distance back to bring it into a shop. Long story short, this was the worst trip and experience of my life. Having someone try to run you over and then shoot at you isn't something you simply get over. There were these woods by my parents' house that I would like to walk through a lot. I found this one very small circular clearing in the woods. It sat by a small, calming stream of water, and it had a big rock in the center that I'd like to sit on and read my books. I guess you could say I was a loner child. One day, like any other, I walked to the circle, sat on the rock, opened my book to the bookmark, and resumed my novel. It wasn't exactly midday, it was approaching the end of the day, so it was getting slightly darker in the woods. I was interrupted by footsteps behind me. I set down my book and went into the trees to see if there was a deer or other animal nearby. Black bears are what always worried me as a kid. I heard more footsteps, so I followed quietly in that direction. Whatever it was moving fast. Faster than I possibly could while trying to remain quiet. The footsteps disappeared. I figured the animal got too far away. But as long as it wasn't interested in bothering me, I didn't care what it was. I started walking back to my circle, but as soon as I got a view of it between the trees, my heart dropped to my stomach. There was someone sitting on my rock, back to me, but I could tell they were holding my book. I didn't know whether to approach or not, not until the man said out loud, "I don't like this book," and turned to me, as if he knew exactly where I was standing, even still behind a few trees. He said, "I watch you come here a lot." He had on this weird smile that immediately made me even more uncomfortable. My 13-year-old self didn't have a fight or flight response system. I only had a flight response instinct. The man stood up and took one or two steps towards me, and I started running. I knew the way back to my house easily. I was there after a couple minutes of running. That night, I got a knock at my window. I woke up terrified and screamed for my dad. My dad came rushing in, and when I told him, he went outside to check. I was horrified when he came rushing in, and when I told him, he went outside to check. I was outright disturbed when he came back in with my book that I left in the woods. He said it was left outside my window. I slept in my parents' room for like a week after that, and needless to say, I never returned to that circle in the woods. I had taken a job working for a company based in the mountains. They offered me a cottage to stay in while working there. It was an old home built into the side of a mountain and surrounded by the forest. I lived in the basement, which had been converted into a small living space with a bathroom, kitchen, sleeping area, and a laundry room. The laundry room was L-shaped and had a door that went out back and into the surrounding forest. The door that led to the forest was locked from the inside and was quite difficult to open. I never used that door and always kept it locked. The rest of the house was empty, but I didn't have access to it. After a day of work, I returned to my little basement for an evening reading and playing solitaire. I turned off my lamp and started to nod off when I heard a noise. The noise was like wood creaking. I played it off as my imagination. But then it repeated. I thought maybe one of the cabinets in the kitchen was latched improperly and swung open. I checked, but all the cabinets were secured. I opened my closet, thinking maybe something in there had made the sound. But again, nothing. The last place to look was the laundry room. I opened the door that connected the house to the laundry room and was instantly hit by a gust of cold night air. I slowly turned the corner and witnessed the door that led to the outside just swing in the nighttime breeze. I am 100% certain I had this door closed, and like I said earlier, there is no way it could open on its own. I don't know what happened. Was there someone waiting in the laundry room, just waiting for me to fall asleep before sneaking out? Was it something supernatural? Either way, there are few times I had ever felt such genuine horror. Tennessee has some real characters out in nature. I hiked all around while in school there. made some good memories with a girl in the enveloping nature. Tennessee has good roads to popular hiking sites and tons of mini trails branching off. Sometimes you need to know what to look for as far as trail markers go, because the interesting ones are always a good ways out. There's one spring waterfall that spills across a mossy granite wall, towering over a shallow stream that empties into a decent-sized pond. I went out there with a friend last time, and we got separated on the way out. I have no freaking clue how that happened. We've each been hiking for over 10 years. I've run over it 1,000 times in my mind, and it has to be this one ledge system. To get to the top of the fall, you need to take a longish detour that has an old wooden railing and a three-way branching ledge system. So I've taken all three routes and ended up at the same spot. They take maybe 3 to 4 minutes to blast through, and they're kind of like rocky corridors. I don't take the left one anymore, because I'm 90% sure these big stains in the middle are blood. Don't want to know what happened there. It's odd, because the left is by far the most inviting. Flowers bloom from vines that are etched into the moss-matted bedrock. Anyways, I'm 45 seconds ahead of her, and opt for the right path, when I realize I should tell her to avoid the left. It's really hard to reverse given the sloping angle of the path and a few short drops that become narrow climbs. Screw it. Faster if I speed through and yell down. I get out of the right corridor and swing around to where the middle path drops off. I yell, but no reply. So she took left. I run over and climb into the left corridor, thinking she saw the stains and freaked out. To be fair, it looks like someone got bludgeoned to death. I ran up the corridor, but she was gone. I called her name, nothing. And that's what made my hair stand up. I literally heard nothing. No birds, no hum of the forest, not even wind. Just myself and the babbling water. I traced left all the way back and noted a few side passages if you miss a couple of the jumps. No bodies were in there or the middle, though. Good. I figure I may as well get to the top of the falls where I can get somewhat of an aerial view. I get there, and Ashley's sitting there waiting for me. She says she took the left path with a trail guide. What? There are no trail guides. There are rangers, but she knows the difference. They would not be in the rock labyrinth. This guy had a uniform and a trail authority visor on. She knew what I was thinking based on my face, and agreed that we should reverse course ASAP without us saying anything out loud. It's weird when you know you're being watched. We pretended we were going back to the car real quick to get more water, and so I left some fish food in a little crevice like I always did, and we left. She showed me this weird side passage that could not have existed a year before. I walked all the way around. You had to crouch, but you could walk through the labyrinth if you kept left, though. Hindsight, we shouldn't have taken another way. I think he lives in those tunnels. Ashley said he kept trying to lead her in a different direction, but she just followed the light and saw him standing in the tunnel as she walked the rest of the trip to the top. That means he was in there while I was looking for her. And that means she followed him before seeing the blood splatters all over the floors and walls. And that's not the totally fucked up part. The fish food that I left in the crevice was on the hood of my car. Her water bottle was gone too. She had a carabiner to her pack, so he must have snuck up and taken it at some point. That's strange because we're fast hikers. We never went back there and never will.